we'll sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time that you've set aside. Good to be in the hall again, Lord. I pray you would bless our time here. Lord, the lifting up of our praises. I pray, Father, that you would grant our prayer requests according to your will. Pray most of all, Lord, for your will to be done. We just love you and praise you. And I pray that you would look after the brethren wherever they are. Just deliver us our needs, Lord. And please oppose evil wherever it rears its head. We know you're still in the soul-saving business, and I pray this day that you would still be working on people's hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. Amen. Right, we'd like Luke, number 3. We haven't sung All People That on Earth Do Dwell for a while, but we're going to do that first. Hymn number 3, we'd like Luke, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
next reading is from the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall spring in damnable errors, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with faint words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into Satan's darkness, so he reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should be live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day in their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust on the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not grievous accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the same day, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken their right way, and are gone astray, or in the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice were bad than the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure to the lust of flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome the latter end in worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen.
Take a Baptist courtesy of Mr. Lewis as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Steve and Pat send their regards and their greetings. Steve said he was hoping to be here after Saturday. He was going to push himself out to be here, but he just wasn't. He just wasn't up to it. So please do remember. I've also asked if you remember Monica and myself. We're travelling down to see my dad for a couple of days down in the big smoke at Portadown, so please do pray for us. Pray for Norman and myself as we gather our strength and our wits and get back to doing the finishing off, Lord willing, next week. Although, would that be extended out for another week of rest? Do you think about it, are you?
No.
I am. Please do pray for us as well. There's a lot going on. You only have to turn on the news to find something to pray about. But do pray for Pat and Steve and Will and the McMahon family. Do pray for them as well. And do pray for the up and coming, what are we going to call it? Dedication service, reopening service, whatever we want to call it. But the Lord knows. So please do pray for that. For the folks on the streets, for the folks that. Many times if we have been speaking to people around this neck of the woods, they remember this as the old Presbyterian church hall that a lot of people used to come to because it was too far to go into the waterside to Everington. So there you go. We have many years of tradition to keep up with, so please do remember that. Can't think of anything else. Anybody got anything else, Mrs. Bradley? Yes.
Wolf Granny's knee surgery has been changed to the 27th. From the first.
There you have it.
And Pearl Heatherington.
So please do pray for Pearl Heatherington. She is a dear old friend of Monica's. She would be in her 80s and she is having a few problems with kidneys. So please do pray for Pearl. Amen. And Will's granny, she was supposed to be going in on the 1st, but that has gone back to the 4th.
27th.
Pardon?
The 27th.
Oh, sorry. I don't know what happened in the 4th. That's a big putback. That's nearly a month. I wonder how that's going to affect Will and his... I'm sure he'll be back. Anyway, do pray for Will as well. He's supposed to be isolating with his brother down in Ballyclare. Or living in Ballyclare with his brother and travelling into Belfast while his granny is isolating. But I think sometimes they just pick, they have a drawer full of words and they just pick them out and they decide that's the room that they're going to follow for the day. Many years ago, anybody here ever watched an episode of Star Trek on TV? And the captain would ring down to Scotty in the engine room and he would say, Scotty, what's the problem? And he'd say, it looks like the dilithium matrix is failing, Captain. And, or something like that. And we used to actually have a spreadsheet of all of these words, three columns of them. And when anybody rang the computer department, this is how your tax dollars, etc., would work, I'm sure. We would, as soon as they rang up with a problem, we would start hitting the space bar and it would randomly select a word from each columns. And then whenever they would say, what do you think it is? We would stop. I would say, it looks like a flux capacitor cascade failure. And they would say, all right, and what do I have to do for that? Just turn it off and switch it back on again. I think the health service just has, they have a random word generator for a reason why things can't take place and just pull them like a rabbit out of the hat. Please do pray for our health service. They're definitely not working in the best interest of their people. So please do pray for that. There's a lot to pray about. And I know we don't make a mention very much here, but for decades we have stood in churches and we have preached about the problems with the rest of the world and how the rest of the world was touched with wars and earthquakes and diseases and things like that. It never ever darkened our shores, but it's here now. We would need to be much in prayer. So please do remember those things. Anyway, let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll sing another song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time. Lord, you know all our prayer requests. You know our private prayer requests. You know about the health service. You know about me and the spreadsheet, Lord. You know about Will's granny and Will and Pat and Steve and Stephen and Frank and, Lord, all of our brothers and sisters, Christine and Marianne. You know it all, Lord. I pray you please, Father, that you would continue to work in people's lives, that you would divinely intercede, that you would miraculously bring about those, in quotes, coincidences that the world likes to call. And Father, most important, that your will would be done, that souls would be saved, Christians would stand up and speak out. We would not be afraid of being called out on Twitter or something like that. I do indeed thank you for loving us. And I pray, Lord, that even now that you would use this time just to reinforce our faith in you or to help us to grow. We love you and praise you. You know all our needs. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. And I pray you too for any men that are standing and preaching the full counsel of your word from the King James. We love you and thank you. Amen. Is anybody here be on Facebook? If you put your hand up, you're not going to have to say Jesus, Hail Mary and Our Father, don't worry. Anybody be on YouTube? Did you notice what day it was today on YouTube? It is World Tarot Day. Does anybody know what a tarot card is? Use them for fortune telling. And that's what YouTube is advertising to the whole world today. It's World Tarot Card Day today. And that's the sort of scum you have in influential positions in this world. Pays to keep your eyes open. Right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to hymn number 353, 353, and we'll stand as we sing from every stormy world. seated. But don't put your hymn books away just yet. We'll exercise our collective vocal cords one more time on 361. 361, did you think to pray? And then we will open our Bibles and we will leave the vocal cord exercises to me. 361, did you think to pray? Speaking the subject of insanity. John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1 on the subject of insanity. Amen. And therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Excuse me. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the one, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Amen. Verse number 17 and 18 is going to be our text today. I want to speak for a little bit, for a minute or two, on the subject of insanity. We'll have another quick prayer, and then we will get going. Heavenly Father, please bless our time around your word. Please take this time just to sit with us, to speak to us, to watch over us, to protect our thoughts and minds, keep the old devil in the world, and all the things that might worry us outside these walls, Lord, that you would just keep them outside these walls. Just thank you, Father, and pray that you would be with us as we take this time in your word. And Lord, we love you and praise you, and we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 This is quite a famous little portion of Scripture. In fact, I think there's even maybe a song or two written about it, or a hymn or two written about it. But this is about a woman that met Jesus one day in the It's quite an interesting thing that in verse number 4, it says he must needs go through Samaria. Because it's not like us, he didn't need someone to post it on Twitter or Facebook that there was a woman at the well on her own. And he knew exactly who she was, where she was, and everything about her. So he went to meet her in Samaria. And one thing to notice was this woman was a renowned adulterer. The word of God says in 17 and 18 that she had 5 husbands and she was living with a man and he wasn't her husband, and that she was basically shunned by all of the other women. Who knows how many relationships she had broken up, how many lives and families that she had destroyed. So she was on her own. And just as he did with Simon Peter and James and John, remember whenever they were working at their father's nets, and he came along and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they did. In this particular case, this woman wasn't fishing. Unlike Colin, he was fishing. Didn't catch anything, except a little pike as the other day. But he asked her for a drink of water. And straight away, she starts giving excuses as to why she can't help him. First of all, she says, well, you shouldn't really be speaking to me. She was basically an outcast of society. She said, but even more importantly than that, on a racial level, the Jews and the Samaritans don't mix. They've got a lot of bad blood between them. And on top of that, you've no bucket and no rope to let it down into the well, so how are you going to drink? More importantly, where's this living water you're talking about? And he said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Are you like greater than our ancestors? So many reasons as why she couldn't help the Savior out. But even at that, the Lord said to her, do you know what? When you partake of the things of the world and you make them your aim and your center of your life, you're always going to need to go back to them. But whenever you partake of the salvation that God gives, that's a one and done. You will certainly feel the need to read a bit more of the Bible, but that's more like fueling the fire. That's more like educating you and edifying you. But you will never have that aching desire deep down in your heart that the world cannot fill. In fact, the Lord said, the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In other words, it'll overflow you, and you'll want to tell other people about it. And this is the bit that we're coming to, where the Lord says, go and get your husband. She says, I have no husband. And then he gives her life story. We hear these couple of verses about her having had 5 husbands and living with a man. That was pretty much shunnable offence back in the day, and maybe even a stonable offence in Jewish communities. She suddenly realized she wasn't just talking to Joe Public here. She said, there's something special about you. You're a prophet. He says, as far as God goes, we are told that this is the mountain where we need to worship God. But the Jews say that it's in Jerusalem you need to worship God. And Jesus says, do you know what? You worship God wherever you are. For God seeketh people to worship him and praise him in spirit and truth. So she scoots. She goes. She disappears. And she goes and tells the men all about the things that Jesus has done. The men that she, whose lives that she had touched, if that's a nice way of putting it. And they all come out to hear him. And they listen to him. And they say, do you know what? The things that you have said about him are absolutely true. He speaks the truth. And not only that, but we're going to believe him. Not because of what you have said, but because of what he has said. And so a whole bunch of folks came to the knowledge of Christ as their Savior. Verses that I really wanted to speak about in 17 and 18. Talk about this woman. Obviously, 2,000 years ago, life was a bit simpler. Men were taught that they needed to learn a skill so that they could, whenever they're older, support a family or at the very least look after themselves whenever they got up and going. They would have something that they could do that other people would want with the payment for that, that they would be able to buy food and pay their taxes and one thing and another. So men were taught to be providers, women were taught to be homemakers, and there was a big fuss made about it. And so this woman did what most other women did whenever they were young. She got married. And marriage wasn't all that it was cracked up to for her. She was missing something deep down inside. So she started to think, well, it's the man that got married. He's just not fulfilling me. He's not dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's for me. So she ditched him and she married another man. And still the same problem, he wasn't satisfying her spiritually. There was something missing deep down inside her. And so she married another husband and another husband and another husband, and none of them were able to provide what it was that she needed. So she just went and started living with a fella. I think she just, I don't know if she was planning to marry him or if she just shacked up with him. I don't know. But the Lord said, you've had six men, five husbands, you're living with a man. The problem is not the man that you're marrying, it's the man that you haven't met yet, and that's me. You haven't met the perfect man. Number seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. You haven't met the perfect man. And I am the man that will satisfy you deep down inside. I am the man that will answer all of those questions, and I am the man that will give you the water which, whenever you drink, you'll never thirst again. You will know salvation and peace and assurance. You will know that you're going to heaven. And that makes a big difference in your life. And I got to thinking about that because, has anyone heard one of the definitions of insanity? Is that you keep doing the same thing expecting different results. You keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. That's a definition of insanity, or words to that effect. And the thing about it is that it doesn't happen. If you keep doing the same things with your life, the consequences are going to be the same each time, or the results are going to be the same each time. And I got to the point of thinking, hold on a wee second, that's not just about immorality, and that covers drinking. That covers drugs. That covers, goodness, all the things that people do whenever they're looking for satisfaction in their lives. And people do a lot of those things. And in fact, some people get used to doing them so much that their bodies become physically addicted to them. People doing drugs, they get a high, they forget all of their problems for just a little while. And then they think, you know what, I would like to go back to that place, that mental state of no conviction, that mental state of no worries, of no fears, and they take more drugs, or they take more drink. And before too long, their body is actually physically addicted to that. And it's not just drugs, and it's not just alcohol, it's not just immorality, but goodness, you look on eBay or Amazon and you can find a thousand different things that are hobbies, I think, or pastimes that, people use to try and give their lives some meaning. To try and keep fit, for instance. How many times do you see people tramping up and down the Crescent Link or parking? The thing that always amuses me is how close people park to the gym up in the Crescent Link. Literally will fight you for the closest parking space. They're supposed to be going in to get fit. You would think like a 100-yard walk would actually be good for them. But there's people that do that, and there is a certain buzz to be had when you're doing exercise. Is it endorphins or something get released? And you feel good from doing the exercise. A lot of people try these things and they think, this will make me the perfect person. And the buzz lasts for a while, but then before you know it, you have to go and do it again. It's the same with every single thing in this world that people set their hearts on. It's not Jesus. And the alcoholic wonders why, oh, I need a drink and everything will be grand while I'm drunk. The keep fitter thinks, well, I need to go and do a workout and then that will set me up for the next few days. But before you know it, think, well, if I start to tail off, then I'll lose my V or my perfect shape, or I'll go up from 5% body fat to 8% body fat, or something like that. Always looking for the perfection, the satisfaction, the end of conviction, the entry in of contentment and peace and purpose. And the Lord said, I think it was in Luke 5 and verse 12, he said, look, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Regardless of what that thing is, it does not make your life perfect. It does not give you an assurance of salvation. It does not give you the peace that passeth all understanding. It does not give you the promise that everything will work out for the best. It does not give you direction in life. It does not give you security in your life. Even in a jail cell, they can take your freedom away. They can take your position away, your money away, your belongings away. But whatever you have in your heart, the salvation of God and whatever scriptures you carry with you, they can't take those things away. Provide that once you're saved, Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. And so I wonder, I ask the question, why is it that people keep doing those things? Why is it that people keep doing the same things, expecting a different result? If we were to look at America even today, America is well on its way down the road to socialism. I think we're fairly well on our way there ourselves. And there are so many countries in the world that have adopted socialism and are actually doing very, very badly. Venezuela is probably the greatest example of an immensely wealthy country that adopted socialism, and the economy crashed, and interest rates are out of control, and people are dirt poor, and the place is literally floating on oil. Then they look at this country, and they see this country headed down the socialist track. We have social medicine and social and benefits and things like that. Many people of which are getting far too much, and it's more worth their while to do nothing than it is to do something with their lives, because the government will feed them, waddle them, and clothe them. Now, I have no problem with people that genuinely need aid. I have no problem with that. But there are many people that are fitter than me that are sitting on their backside watching TV all day or surfing the web. And that's just not on. On that point, did you know that God is a good communist? Did you know that? God is the perfect communist. He treats everybody exactly the same. There is no President Vladimir Putin who calls everybody comrade, but he's the richest man probably in the world. Richest, most powerful man in the world. God is the perfect communist. He is no respecter of person. But it doesn't stop there. God is also the perfect socialist. And he will provide his children's needs, no matter where they are. He will provide all his children's needs. But he's also the perfect capitalist. And he is more than happy to reward you for your labors. The more you work, the greater the rewards. That's literally the way it is in this world. Everybody that gets saved is going to heaven, but not everybody that gets saved is going to get the rewards, the blessings of God. If you don't put effort into it, you don't get any rewards back. So God is the perfect communist, the perfect socialist, and the perfect capitalist. Anyway, slight aside. Why do people then think that going out on Friday night and getting, have you ever heard the word socialist drunk, is going to change their lives for the better? Whenever all you need to do is go up to the, I don't know what ward looks after the kidneys or the liver. And all you need to do is go up to that ward in the hospital and speak to people there and find out how many are there because of drinking. Kidneys are packed up. Liver is packed up. Stomach is eaten away. Throat is eaten away. Brain destroyed because of alcohol. And why do then people think that is the way to peace? Oh, I need a drink to relax. Why is that? Do they think that they have the first time around killed that person, the second time around, I'll try it and I'll get a better result out of it? Do they think they will not be affected by alcohol? That they will not be affected by drugs? You go to the STD clinic and ask the people there. I'm sure some are there for genuine reasons, but I would say the majority of people in the STD clinic are there because they met the wrong person on Friday or Saturday night. And maybe they get something that you can't cure with an injection. So why do people then pursue that sort of lifestyle? Do you think for a moment that it's going to work for you where it hasn't worked for other people? And so on and so forth. It's insanity. Unfortunately, our government protects this sort of lifestyle and even encourages these sorts of lifestyle. We do know that the same answer that applied to this woman at the well 2,000 years ago still applies to souls today. What did she say? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And that's what Jesus is still doing today. He sends the Holy Spirit out into the world, and the Holy Spirit taps people on the shoulder, and he says to them, do you see those things that you're doing? They're not right. Do you see the way you speak to such and such a person? That's not right. Do you see the way you take the Lord's name in vain? That's not right. Do you see the way you don't turn up at church? That's not right. Do you see the way that you dress? That's not right. Do you see the way that you do all of these things? It's not right. That's basically the Holy Spirit saying to you, you're guilty. You're guilty of breaking God's law, and the penalty for sin is death. Do you want to die in hell in the lake of fire forever and ever? And whilst the penalty for sin is death, what does the Bible say at the end of Romans chapter 3? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. The whole idea is that whenever God tells you all things that ever you did, and God shows you your sin, that you come to him. Just like this woman, she went into the town and told the men, and they all came back, and many more came back. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Jesus spoke to them. The Holy Spirit showed them all things that ever they did. And Jesus saved them from their sins. And whenever he does, he gives us so very, very much. Not just for the endless ages of eternity, but for right now. Things that people are working their whole lives for. They're pounding hundreds of miles of pavement for. They're spending years in school for. To try and learn what it is that will satisfy me and complete me and content me. And all they have to do is get down on their hands and knees and say, Lord, would you please save my soul? Not only that, there is a great little promise in Romans chapter 8 where it says, well, let me just ask you a question. Is there anybody here that wants their life to turn out badly? Do you want your life to go badly? Do you want things to keep ganging up on you and going wrong in your life? I think everybody's looking at me like, what's he talking about? Does anybody want their life to go well? Do you want to accomplish things? Do you want to make a difference? Do you know when I was little, before I discovered computers, I was into electronics. And all that I wanted to do, I was trying to think, is if there's something of mine flying through a vacuum in space, it'll last for millions and millions of years. That's what I wanted. I wanted to put up one of new, like Elon Musk satellites, something like that. Like Sputnik, just sending out a wee ping every minute or two. I wanted to have something that would last forever. And then I found computers and I thought, this is the way to go. Anyway, God says, whenever you put your faith in me for the endless ages of eternity, your soul will be saved, no matter what. But whenever you put your faith in me for right now, your life will be saved. And that's a whole different affair, because that's to do with right now. And Jesus wants us to have life, and that more abundantly. But that will only happen when we do things God's way. If you keep doing the same silly things and you keep getting the same silly results, that is a textbook definition of insanity. When you start doing things God's way, regardless of what the rest of the world is doing, you will find in the words of, I think, is it Matthew 11, the last few verses, or Matthew 12, when you take God up on his invitation to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, God will give you rest. In fact, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, do things my way. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the promise of God to you and I. And that's really where we need to be. That is what will be the most beneficial to. It's been in the book for 2,000 years in its entirety. It'll be there until the world stops spinning or it's consumed in flames, like is mentioned at the end of Revelation chapter 20. And as long as there's people in this world, that invitation and that option is there. You can be like Frank Sinatra and do it your way. Or you can be a good child of the King of Kings and do it his way. And things will work out for the best. But I'm stopping there. Thank you very much indeed. Don't go bonkers. Keep your head screwed on and do what God says. I think we're going to sing Fight the Good Fight, 381. 381. Let's stand as we sing Fight the Good Fight, 381.
Fight the good fight, fight the good fight, fight the good fight.
Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Help us always, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. Just love you and thank you. And Lord, we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.